Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Well, happy Merrill Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with all of you. What just happened? What a weekend. What a weekend it was here in America's finest city. Holy smokes. Especially Sunday. Sunday was an elite day in almost every single way. So good to be here with you guys this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Paulie said we just hit the 6,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. I would like to get more. I don't know why. Probably just ego. I just want my ego fed, maybe. If I'm being honest, I'm trying to be more honest. I want the most subscribers I can have, right? Isn't that standard? That's why you have a YouTube feed. So we just surpassed 6,000. So if you're not subscribed, go to YouTube. Just hit subscribe. Won't cost you a dime. We are, broadcasting on 97.3 The Fan, your Odyssey app, but the YouTube feed is where you can see all kinds of fun things like what we're wearing today. We'll explain in a moment. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody. Sounds like you guys had a spectacular Sunday with athletic achievements of your own.
Yes.
My athletic achievements weren't all that impressive over the weekend, other than getting through 54 holes of golf, really mediocre golf, but in my club championship.
That's something to behold. 54 holes and you walked the
whole time. I walked,
carried
my bag up and down those hills, but...
How sore are you?
Man, I'm so stiff, as I like to say. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a 5 handicap who played like a 10 handicap.
Really?
It's just one birdie in 54 holes. I mean, how sad is that?
That's standard, actually. Paulie and I are like, that's pretty good.
But I'm happy for you guys. Paulie, congratulations.
When's the last time you got one birdie in 54 holes? I mean, it's been a long time.
No kidding.
I average a birdie about every 54 holes. That's a good weekend in my book, for sure. Man, we had a great day. And let's just start on Friday, where we got off the show, and last week was a long week. It was just a long week. I was pretty cashed by the time we got out of here, and went home, and was really looking forward to the Joe Musgrove start. But I had a wedding to go to that night, so I did the thing. Hannah's like, don't worry, I'll go get Bo. You get some rest. I said, thank you, babe. Thank you so much. Get in bed. Get all cozy. Fall asleep for about an hour. And it was a pretty juicy hour nap. I get up. We start getting ready for the wedding. We get in the car to go to the wedding. And all of a sudden, I open my phone and I go, ah! And I yelled out loud. And he goes, what? And I go, and I held the picture up. And it was a picture that Sammy Levitt had sent us from... Yu Darvish, who, by the way, when I woke up from my nap, I woke up to find that Yu Darvish is coming back. He's off the restricted list, and he's going to be pitching for our San Diego Padres, God willing, very soon. So Sammy sends us a picture, and it's Yu Darvish, and he's wearing our shirt. In his first press conference back, I almost died. I mean, I legit yelped out loud. I couldn't believe it.
It was wild.
It was wild. So...
You've already said you like to have your ego fed.
Yes.
Well, that was an ego feeding moment.
I had got a little misty eyed. I just couldn't believe it.
It's got to be worth at least 10,000 YouTube subscribers. 100,
right, exactly. Everyone go subscribe. Smash it. So I thought to myself, Woodsy, don't let yourself think about why. Because I know the answer. This is the only shirt in his locker. And I know that. Because we gave it to I didn't want to let myself. This is what I do.
No.
I like to put myself down, put us, you know, say it's not, you know, it was a matter of happenstance.
Even Lake Batcher gets called up. He's got like 5 different Padres workout shirts just by default.
That's
in
true.
Locker.
He does get hooked up. But
you had a choice.
For whatever reason.
And he chose Benny.
He chose that shirt. And it just made my day. It just put me in such a, it was just cool. It was a cool moment, man. And like, I couldn't believe it. So I'm we love you. We love him. And so that was really special. And then, you know, the game Friday night was elite. The game Saturday sucked. And then obviously yesterday. But so it started yesterday with the tier ones who've not been playing our best brand of baseball. We had a lot of guys out yesterday. We had a real good rivalry game. And we came down to the ninth inning and we were tied. And they threw a guy in the first five innings that is so nasty. He's probably he probably throws harder than any adult league pitcher. And we handled him pretty well. He broke my favorite bat right on my hands.
So I think as a team, broke at least six bats. He was
so nasty. You play in a wood bat baseball league.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. When a Major League Baseball player breaks a bat,
no problem.
They just pull in the bat rack, pull another one out.
Yeah.
You know, team orders them.
They don't 20 in their
have to worry
in their...
about that. Those things are expensive.
Buddy. So
you break one of those, it's like, yeah. I'm just out, what, $100, $150? What are we talking about here?
More? $250?
That's crazy.
Think about this. To go play that game yesterday, I had to hire a babysitter to watch Taylor because it was 100 degrees at Orange Glen. 100 degrees. 100 degrees. No way I'm bringing him out there with no sit. Like, for him to roam free out at Orange Glen,
shade.
No shade, can't come in the dugout. So I found a sitter. That was $120. Broke my bat, my war stick bat. It's like $200. That's a $320 day.
Well, don't forget, you won.
And we won, so I had to donate.
And because of Jackson Merrill, you doubled the donation to the Peter Seidler Legacy Fund.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
$200.
Yeah, about $500 someday. So very cool. But I'll tell you what, I would have paid $1,000 for the Sunday that we had yesterday. So we had our first walk-off, which was so fun. The guys played really, really hard. Shout out to all of them. It was awesome, man. And then, of course, as I'm walking my bag to my car, I get a text that said, F yeah! And I went, well, they did something. So I flipped my phone on real quick, 2-2. And I had no idea who did it, had no idea what happened. Which it turns
guys
out,
are getting into their cars, and we just
said, Pro Four! It was amazing. It was amazing. Everyone's so locked in on Padres baseball. So that was cool. Then I get in the car and put
on... the first base coach for the other team walking over to our dugout in between. Hey, what's the score?
What's the score?
We had the game playing in the speakers.
It's so good. And then I get in the car and I put on Tony and Jesse. And I listen to him walk us through the whole thing. And just screaming in my car on the way home. The vibes were insane. My son... They raised the most funds. So they got from the league a big party bus. They got to all go down to the game. So all the moms get on the bus with all the kids. They took them down to the game. They were there for the whole thing. They saw the home runs. They were there. Bo got his little lunch box, had the time of his life. He had elite behavior. Taylor had elite behavior with the babysitter. It was a perfect Sunday.
So you heard Jesse's call of the home run. I'm assuming at some point, Jesse's call was great, but...
I went back.
I'm assuming at some point,
God,
you must have heard Don Orsillo's. And Don's had some legendary, fantastic calls. In my opinion, just personal opinion, might have been his best ever.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic call, of course. We'll have the collected calls for you of Jackson Merrill's walk-off home run. This kid is unbelievable. I mean...
It's my rookie of the year.
You know, they were talking in the dugout before he hit the home run. Luis Arraez, Manny going, he's going to walk it off here. I mean, they predicted it.
Yep.
Not that it's much of a prediction at any point.
Right. You're like, oh, real stretch. Jackson Merrill walks
the collection,
it off. That's what he does.
I think it was A.J. Cassavell who had the tweet yesterday. The collection of relievers... that he has hit home runs off of late in games is unbelievable. Mason Miller, Blake Treinen, David Bednar, George Soriano, now Edwin Diaz. I mean, just some of the nastiest arms in baseball. And this kid goes up with no fear.
None.
No reservations. Just looks for his pitch to hit. Says, I'm not trying to hit a home run. I'm just trying to, you know, drive the ball somewhere, do my thing. But... every single time, just seems to go over the fence, leave the yard. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's just a notch in that dude's bedpost every time. Just,
Merrill!
There's another one. There's another one.
You can have
one.
A successful 15-year career.
Correct.
And not collect the kind of big home runs that Jackson Merrill has done in the first 4 months at age 21. There are, you know, David Peralta, 30, you know, long career, 37, whatever, 34 years old. probably doesn't have this collection of clutch home runs over the last decade plus that Jackson Merrill has just done in the first few months. This is not normal. This is not really that believable that a kid can do this in his first year. It's amazing.
It was absolutely incredible. It's been incredible. And again, it's so fun to like, now we're taking Jackson Merrill's, we're taking Jackson Merrill's ABs, and you watch them and you just go, how? How does he do it? How does he do it? You break him down and you go, he's not trying to do too much.
At what point is this on the opposing pitching staff to not walk him?
So it was just a great weekend, man. It's, you know, I hated the game on Saturday. We all did. Clunker of a game. We'll talk about it, certainly. Was Saturday the.
Saturday was the stinker.
Was the stinker. Friday was the great one with Joe. Yeah. They went loss, win.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
That's what
they needed to do in this series.
But
I've heard that Livy Dunn's actually throwing her rookie of the year support behind Jackson Merrill at this point.
Well, here's an interesting story. So I tweeted yesterday, it's over. Like, it's over. I'm sorry, Paul. And I wrote, I'm sorry, Paul and Livy. I love them. I love Paul Skeens. I don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens. He has some videos on Instagram that I lie in bed at night and I show my son about work ethic, about believing in yourself. We watch them over and over. I love Paul Skeens. But what he's done this year isn't close to what Jackson Merrill's done. It's just not close. It's not close. So
not entirely his fault.
Absolutely not his fault. Absolutely not his fault.
He wasn't called up until May.
You're a victim of the team you play for.
Of course.
Right? So it's not his fault. But I tweeted it. Now, we have a friend that works for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Remember, Paulie?
Oh, yeah.
I get a DM yesterday. All right, that's enough.
Oh.
So I said, hey, listen, I can't. And I said the exact same thing I just sent, told you guys. I said, I love Paul. This has nothing to do with Paul or Livy Dunn. This has everything to do with Jackson. He goes, I love what Jackson's doing. He works for the Pirates. He goes, you're a Paul Skeens fan. I go, we're huge. We love him.
Of course.
And he goes, all right, I'm going to see if I can send you something to try to tip the scales in our favor. I go, oh, no. Now, I can't be bought. My six-year-old, who loves Jackson Merrill, I go, bro, you know how fickle kids are. I mean, kids are fickle. So I'm going to have to really dig in here and maybe hide it. If he does send me something, I'm going to have to hide it from
Bo. Our love cannot be bought.
Our love isn't bought at
it's
all.
Not. No one can do anything that gets us excited about, as we're showing off our shirts, that are the shirts of Yu Darvish wearing our shirts.
Yes.
This Inception. Morning that we're all wearing.
Shirtception.
Shirt Inception, yes. So,
yeah, man.
But get by us.
I just, it was just such a cool, there was some good news. I hated that we talked about Yu Darvish for 20 minutes on Friday, and then we had the skipper on. Maybe that would have been a fun time to break that news, Skip. I'm sure he wasn't like.
Maybe he didn't know about it yet.
Ben! I'm sure he's just sitting in the club. He's like, hot damn, that's Yu Darvish. Like, no way.
That's correct.
Yeah, exactly. Him sitting there through that interview, you know, with an ass-eating grin on his face going, these dumb bastards got no idea what's about to happen at 10:30 or whatever it was. So I was like, come on, man. Come on. So it was everyone's in a really good mood.
Maybe if they had won on Thursday and he had been, you know,
in a better mood,
in a little cheerier mood, he would have shared the Yu Darvish news with us.
That is absolutely true. But great weekend was had by all.
Caveman in the chat says Merrill almost has as many walk off home runs as Skeens has wins.
That's so stupid.
What are we talking about?
What are we even talking about, man? And again, this guy's not clubbing these home runs in. You know, 14-3 blowouts for a last place team. The dude at 21, playing in the big leagues for the first time, playing a new position, has taken this team and went, come on, everybody get up here.
The only person in baseball that might be more clutch is Jurickson Profar.
Yeah, exactly. They're on the same team. So it's a sight to behold, man. It is a sight to behold. But we love you guys. Thanks for being here. I had a lot of people tweeting. Can't wait for the show tomorrow. I mean, we're just as fired up as you guys are, man. It is incredible. We got all the calls for you. We got all the fun stuff that we do after a game like that.
All right, we'll set the menu coming up. Obviously, lots to talk about the weekend series against the Mets. Have some guests as well. We'll let you know all about it. When we come back, we are off and running. It's a new week. It's Monday morning. Hopefully everybody had a good weekend out there. Kelly Danick is standing by, our first check of traffic, and then Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Of course, the good news over the weekend wasn't limited to just Joe Musgrove's absolute masterpiece on Friday and the walk-off win yesterday. We talked about Yu Darvish, obviously, in the open, and his return sounds like, you know, progressing pretty well. Three innings of bullpen session yesterday against some Lake Elsinore minor leaguers who came to Petco Park in the morning. And if he comes out of that well, they can extend him out to, you know, four or five innings later this week. And you can certainly see a scenario whereby the end of next week or so, Yu Darvish could be back in the starting rotation. And you can see a scenario where right about the same time, Fernando Tatis Jr. is also back for the San Diego Padres. Didn't mention Tatis, but taking batting practice with the team at Petco Park. And it was good to see, you know, Tatis making his progressions toward a return. He will apparently go to Arizona this week while the team's in St. Louis, so he can continue ramping up activities there, face some of the guys in the organization who are at the Arizona League, and hopefully play a little baseball. And once he does that, they'll evaluate, and, you know, he could be on track for a early to mid-September return at the latest, probably, at this point, as long as things are going well. So a very, even though they only won two out of the four, mostly a good weekend for the San Diego Padres.
I mean, if you're going to, yeah, two out of four, which is what we said, you have to have this. You have to have it. They pick up zero ground on you.
Yep.
These are just four games you just flush down the toilet, essentially, if you're the New York Mets and the San Diego Padres.
I mean, you're 5.5 up on the Mets going in.
Yep.
You're still 5.5 up coming out. They're the team that has really, the only team now that has really a legitimate shot of catching you and knocking you out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
If the Braves catch you, you're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's three playoff teams. If the Mets do, then there could be problems. But you've taken four games off the calendar. You are running out the clock.
That's it.
Like an NBA team with a double-digit lead in the last 4 or 5 minutes. All you want to do is get to the finish line, and the Mets are the team that needs to make up ground. They need to win a bunch of games and hope they get some help. And as long as you're just treading water, that's actually fine at this point. Now, you know, trying to catch the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers and earn home field advantage and win the division, didn't help yourself this weekend.
Nope.
Because, well, those two teams remain immensely hot, especially the Diamondbacks. God. I mean, man, I thought the Red Sox might come through with one or two wins at home at Fenway Park
literally
over the weekend.
Literally worthless. Sweet Caroline. Where's she been? Well, I mean,
that's a team fighting for a playoff spot.
They're fighting for their lives. They're after they rolled
and they
over.
Can't even get one win against the absolutely insanely hot Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 20-5 in their last 25 games, and that includes getting swept by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Good,
I don't know.
God.
I don't know how that happened, but the rest of the time, 20-2 against everybody else in the last 22 games. You're not gonna make up any ground on a team like that. That's absolutely insane baseball they've been playing right now. So
Dodgers took 2 of 3.
Yeah. So you drop a half game. You're 4.5 games behind the Dodgers, 1.5 games behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. But I will point out, and we can talk about this as the week goes on. You know, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks play four, Friday to Monday at the end of this week.
So the F do you root
someone for? Is going to lose. I mean, there are four losses somewhere in that series and four wins.
Who do you root for?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Who do you root for?
I know who the answer is, and nobody's happy about it.
You can't say Dodgers, because don't you still want to catch them? But they're, you could move, yeah.
If you want to win the division,
you got to get to the top of the wild card first.
Yeah, but no, I think if you want to win the division, you're closer to the Diamondbacks. So if they, you know, win 3 of 4 and you can take care of business this week on the road and have a good road trip in St. Louis and Tampa, then you can hang with the Diamondbacks, you know, and gain two or three games on the Dodgers, then all of a sudden you go in, you're both like a game and a half, 2 games out going into the last month of the season in September.
I think I'm going to abstain from any watching
the four-game series.
That's four-game wraparound series.
So if they split and the Padres win 2 out of 3, I guess, in Tampa, that would be good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, best-case scenario is, you know, they split, you sweep.
Each game goes 30 innings.
You pick up, you know, two and a half games, you know, that this weekend is the best-case scenario. Now, don't take anything for granted. The St. Louis Cardinals gave the Padres problems early in the season. The Rays just swept the Diamondbacks not long ago.
Yeah.
Playing in that, you know, weird, empty ballpark that they do. None of these games this week, I think, are going to be easy for the San Diego Padres. So that starts today. And by the way, when you look at our rundown for the show, we will talk a little St. Louis Cardinals baseball with our friend Katie Wu, who's going to join us at 7:35 this morning, getting ready for the 4-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And then Sam Levitt will check in. He was off this weekend, actually, for a wedding, but he still wants to check in with us after his big week last week. And then, obviously, what happened this weekend with the Padres. So Sammy will be with us at 8:35. Around that, all of our regular features. We've got our Padres wrap-up coming up in just a couple of minutes. Get all the highlights of yesterday's walk-off. A Sunday win. It's been rare for the San Diego Padres since like April. They have been one of the worst teams in baseball on Sundays, but they needed that one yesterday. They got it. We'll have all the highlights coming up in our Padres wrap-up. Talk about the other games, take on Woods, don't do this, coming up as well in our 7 o'clock hour and a Rindle report in our 9 o'clock hour. And what do we got to give away today? We've got Kansas tickets.
Yeah.
You mean Carry On My Wayward Son?
There'll be peace when you were gone.
They're actually coming to Humphreys on September 22nd. So we've got tickets to see Kansas in concert.
I've never seen a show there. That looks like so much fun.
I mean, you guys, too, that series between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers is going to be, it's going to be a battle. Like, there's right now only 3 games. Like, the Diamondbacks, they've got the Mets. So we got to root for the Mets, who right. we loathe. We got to root for them. But
the fact that you at least split with them, you can feel okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if the Mets had taken 3 of 4, and now they're on your heels, you're going, maybe I just want the Diamondbacks to take care of them and have, you know, them not be a worry behind you. But now you can go like, all right, if you beat the Diamondbacks once or twice, not the worst thing.
But the Dodgers, I mean, what if they get to the end of the series and the Dodgers are up 2 games in the division?
They'll have a chance to catch.
I mean, that's a hardcore battle. That's what you want. But you really, it's tough because both those teams will really be sharpening their iron against each other. I mean, this is really good drama for the last month of the baseball season.
And of course, the Padres get their shot at both teams over the final 6 games of the season at the end of September. 3 against the Dodgers in LA, and then 3 against the Diamondbacks in Phoenix to conclude the regular season.
That week to wrap up the season. 3 in LA.
So sick.
3 in Arizona. It's got potential to be more excruciating than the playoffs. Because at least in the playoffs, you get a day off here or there.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
To kind of recover and get ready for the next game. That's going to be 6 straight intense playoff games.
Just nuts. All right, nuts.
We'll take a timeout. We will come back. We've got the highlights, the calls of Jackson Merrill's home run. Jurickson Profar in the clutch as well. All of that coming next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. I don't know. If Jackson Merrill could offer you laminate, tile, and stone, he might he might have the best selection around.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill for laminate, tile, and stone. All right, sign me up, bud.
Kid can do just about anything. I don't want to put any limits on him. We've got all the highlights of yesterday's walk-off 3-2 win over the New York Mets. We'll get to that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah! Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
2-1 to Martinez, hit in the air to deep center field. Jackson Merrill's going back. He is looking up. It's going to go. Long home run to the right of straightaway center for J.D. Martinez. His 15th of the year. And the Mets strike to go ahead 1-0 here in the fourth. 3-2, there he goes. Pitch to Profar, lined up the middle. Somehow caught by Iglesias, who steps on second and rolls it to first. I guess they're going to say it's a force at second, not a lineout. I have no idea how that ball ended up in his glove. But not only did it, apparently on a short hop, he then reached back with his toe to hit second base and made one of the all-time great plays by a second baseman. One pitch is muscled in the air to deep right center field. Merrill, long run, going back at the wall, looking up, going to go. Home run, Mark Vientos, his 21st of the year. Second solo shot of the day for the Mets, and their lead now 2-0 here in the seventh. 2-2 again. The pitch to Profar, hit in the air, deep to right field. Taylor's backing up. It's going to go! Jurickson Profar's career high 21st home run of the season is a game-tying shot in the bottom of the eighth. 2-0 pitch from Diaz. Jackson swings, hits it in the air. Deep to right field, he has done it again. Unbelievable! Jackson Merrill with his second walk-off home run of the year. And the Padres come all the way back and beat the Mets 3-2.
Yeah, you know, it's crunch time, and we just wanted to fight. You know, I don't think we wanted to let them get away with it easy. You know, they kind of had a number during the year. They won the season series against us. We don't like that. So, you know, just come out, play hard to the last minute we got against them.
Jackson Merrill doing it again. I mean, you can break it down any way you want it. The numbers are ridiculous now. His second walk-off home run, his sixth game-tying or go-ahead home run in the eighth inning or beyond, which is a new record, more than Mel Ott. Five home runs in the ninth inning or beyond, which is a new record for 21-year-olds as well. Just unbelievable what he is doing in his rookie season in every single big moment. And Jackson Merrill lifts the Padres to a 3-2 win over the New York Mets. But I wanted to start, Woods, and tell me if you agree with me. Yesterday's game was how Mike Shildt probably will manage a playoff game.
Yeah,
if it gets to that.
I mean, look,
he was aggressive with his bullpen. So Martin Perez was good for the first, you know, 3 2/3 innings. Yeah, kept the. I mean, what more can you ask of Martin Perez? Keeps the Mets scoreless.
He gives up a solo shot. I mean, that's what he does. And he
gives up a solo shot. And if this was a couple of months ago, or maybe a different pitcher, my guess is Mike Shildt just kind of rolls the dice and lets him ride and tries to get another inning or two out of him.
But, well, and also, had we won the first three games of the series, yeah, 100%.
Yep.
He's going to go out there and wear it and have the bullpen fresh and
but
ready.
After he then walks the bases loaded, Shildt's going, nope, we got to go aggressively, and goes to his bullpen and brings in Brian Hoeing, who,
my God,
maybe the hidden at-bat of the game. I mean, not that hidden, but Francisco Lindor, who had hit a grand slam the day before, comes up with the bases loaded. He didn't just strike him out. I mean, he made a legitimate MVP candidate look silly up there with his splitter and just what the kind of stuff that he brought. What a huge moment in that game when it could have gotten away from the Padres like Saturday's game did. Brian Hoeing keeping the Padres down one. And then, you know, getting through the next inning, handing it to Estrada, handing it to Adam, who did give up the one solo home run to Vientos, but then handing it to Scott and handing it to Suarez. That's how playoff baseball is managed here in the year 2024, when you have a high leverage bullpen to go to. And that was kind of a playoff like game for the Padres.
Gives me such great hope when you watch the success of Brian, don't call him a throw-in Hoeing. I mean, when he came across the wire, I went, who is Brian Hoeing, you know, languishing in Miami? And got the, you know, the feedback was his dog, dude. He loves it, wants to pitch, and he can spot start. He's a good pickup. You look at his numbers, peripherals, and you go, all right, whatever. He said, we need arms. We need collect outs. Maybe he's a guy that can do that for us. He's been brilliant. He's been brilliant. And he saved the game yesterday. He absolutely saved the game for the San Diego Padres and let them get back in it and eventually have a chance to win it. He has been phenomenal since he landed in America's finest city. He has been phenomenal, 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 phenomenal. You cannot overstate the importance of what he's done since he's gotten here.
Meanwhile, Jurickson Profar, who, yes, has not been as hot as he was earlier in the season lately, but still seems to come up with some big moments. And what a huge one yesterday. Great call by Jesse, throwing in the fact that he is a new career high with his 21st home run. He had done 20, I think, once with the A's and once with the Rangers, but has never gotten beyond that, up to number 21, and certainly still a month of the season left to go. So Jurickson Profar with the huge two-run shot after the Padres really couldn't do much offensively. Incredible. Against Jose Quintana, the rest, you know, most of the game, gets that opportunity against Buto in the bullpen and gets it done. And it was a great at-bat, too. He fouled off a couple of pitches. It was 2-2, you know, just fighting, trying to stay alive, and then finally gets the pitch that he is looking for. And I didn't know if it was going to be high enough. I mean, he seemed to know off the bat. I think it was 106 miles an hour off the bat. He crunched it. But I was going, is this going to go off the wall? Is it going to get over and just gets into that home run deck?
How many dead
in right field?
How many dead balls? How many balls? And we'll talk about Saturday night's game next. But how many balls did they score? Paul, you were there Saturday night.
Yeah,
they hit about six balls. I'm like, that's gone. Nope, not even remotely close. Now,
I think Manny had three to the warning track.
The Mets figured out a way to get the ball over the fence on Saturday night. The Padres did not. They just could not. I was getting fooled right and left at home when I was watching that game. But go back to Jurickson Profar, Benny. Yeah, he's cooled off a little bit. I mean, nobody's going to continue the torrid pace of which he was on. But when you look at the team leaders for the San Diego Padres, he's got the highest average. He scored the most runs. He's got the most home runs. He's got the most RBI. Pretty damn good. His OPS close is 864.
In close and late situations, no one in baseball has been better than Jurickson Profar.
He's been spectacular. Spectacular. And, you know, the clutch brothers of Jurickson Profar and Jackson Merrill, trademark, by the way, copyright, Ben and Woods, do not disseminate without something. All right.
Paper snap.
The paper snap seals the trademark. Thank you.
That's how it works.
Clutch Brothers. That's what they are. You want those guys up in late innings, needing a knock, needing a great AB, to get a guy on. I mean, those are the guys that I want up there. I love Manny Machado more than anything, but I'd rather have Jurickson and Jackson up there to work a walk, even to put together a really good AB, to scorch a ball somewhere, to do the job. Those guys have been phenomenal this year. Phenomenal. And we're just nowhere without Jurickson.
So Jurickson ties the game at 2. And remember a lifetime ago in the first half of the season, when the Padres would rally sometimes to tie a game and then immediately give up runs right after that?
Yeah.
Kind of nipped that problem in the bud here in the second half. One of the reasons why the Padres have gone from 500 to 16 games above 500 is fixing that problem. And Robert Suarez comes out, you know, and I mean, is 1-2-3 just dirty. Just no hope for the Mets in that inning. And then that sets up, of course, the winning home run against Edwin Diaz, who probably sees Padres in his nightmares as well, just like a lot of Mets fans do. And we heard Jesse's call during the Padres wrap-up. Let's listen to Don Orsillo's call, because, again, I think this was one of his apps. I mean, he's had some great ones.
Epic.
This one was absolutely epic for Don.
High drive, deep right field, Merrill, madness! Walked off at Petco! Padres win it 3-2!
Had no doubt that one was going off the bat. Called it, saw it very clearly, and the excitement level. He has an ability to really inject his voice with excitement without overdriving, like without sounding like he's screaming necessarily. I mean, he is screaming.
He's screaming.
But still.
Merrill, madness!
Yes!
But it keeps that, that good broadcastery oomph to it. Just
should we try it?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Back, back off the mic, though. Back up. Way up.
Long drive to right field. Merrill Madness.
It sounds forced. It sounds
hard. It's what Don does is very difficult.
I'm just going to hit the Merrill Madness.
Wow.
Merrill Madness.
Not bad. Well,
I do this with the Seals.
Not bad.
But it makes your voice.
Merrill Madness.
That sounds forced.
It's too forced.
It's tough. You had a little Grover in there. Merrill.
Merrill.
Merrill Madness.
Mad he is.
Mad he is. Merrill Madness it is. It turns your voice into hamburger meat, like just shredded ground beef.
He's got a regimen of some sort.
There's teas, honey, salve.
There's something.
There's
a regimen that goes along with Don being able to do that. That's a really great skill.
Oh, I love him.
Let's see. We've got
Merrill Madness.
Oh, he gets it, dude. He gets it. Gets it.
Merrill Madness.
Of course,
Pat Mahomes doing it. Actually,
we have the sad.
I'm him.
Sad perspective from the New York Mets.
Oh,
and
like
is this
that.
Radio or television?
This is Mets radio.
Mets radio.
Infield back. The 2-0. Merrill swings and hits a high, deep drive to right. He's done it again. A solo home run to win the game. The Padres motor back with two in the eighth, one in the ninth. And hand the Mets a heartbreaking 3-2 loss in the finale. Jackson Merrill is a nightmare for the National League.
Yes,
Love that.
Jackson Merrill is a nightmare for the National League.
I also heard on the TV call, I think it was Ron Darling who does the Mets analysis, pretty much throwing all of his rookie of the year weight behind Jackson Merrill, going, he's got to be the guy. I mean, Paul Skeens, again, no offense, but you just don't have the opportunity to do what Jackson Merrill has done this year.
He's been incredible. I love Paul Skeens.
What?
Damn it. I love Paul Skeens.
Shut up.
How do you like it, Woods?
That sucks.
It's not even out of context.
I would never take something out of context.
I love
Paul Skeens.
That wasn't like 4 months ago. That was
like 40 minutes
40
ago.
Minutes ago.
I love Paul Skeens. I don't get me wrong. I love Paul Skeens. He has some videos on Instagram that I lie in bed at night and I show my son.
That sounds creepy.
You just made it creepy.
What?
God.
All right, let's go to the foreign language calls. Eduardo Ortega on the microphone. Jackson Merrill's walk off.
Yeah,
a little down.
Just a tiny bit
for Eddie.
Palo por la derecha, puede ser el final. El juego va a acabar. Se va. Jackson en acción. Sí. De línea. ¡Qué película! Los Padres ganan en la novena entrada. Dejan en el terreno a los Mets. Logran dividir la serie. Le ganan a Edwin Díaz. Los Padres en pie de guerra. El playoff continúa. San Diego se mantiene.
Are they going to... Somebody makes a great point. Dub J says, if that situation comes up again, like this week in St. Louis, you don't... Like, how many times does he... Is he going to be allowed to even beat you? That's why it's very important.
I said earlier, why are they not watching? I mean, you got Crony to strike out. Was that the first out?
Yeah, well, what a great AB.
He's not Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani.
In the ninth inning, he is.
I mean, it's half as many home runs. 40% as many as Aaron Judge.
Yeah,
but now they all come in clutch moments.
It's the clutch, man. I think it's situationally like... If it comes down to it, and they've got Ryan Helsley in there, and there's a base open, you're putting him on. If you're Ollie Marmol, Ollie Marmol, you're putting him on. I mean, if you don't, he's continuing.
With no one on base. You're putting that speed and the winning run on base.
Do you want him?
I don't know.
One swing to be. He's done it how many times? Six times? Five times? I mean, the whole team though, they were going through the litany of how many walk-offs they have, eight this year or something insane. I think Jackson's the only one with more than one, but I mean, there's eight guys. Solano's done it. Manny's done it. Ariza's done it. Like, it. Everybody, they're spreading the wealth.
It's a
deep
lineup,
they can beat you in a multitude
Higgy
of different
can
ways.
Hit one
in yeah, like. Yeah. So it is just nuts. It's nuts what he's done.
Finally, we have found it this time. Our call from Korea, our friends on the Korean language Padres broadcast to wrap up our tour of the Jackson Merrill walk-offs.
San Diego의 야구입니다. 끝내기.
앙팡 테러블 잭슨 메릴. 이 선수는 겁이 없다고 말씀드렸습니다. 그리고 저는 아레스가 나오기 전에 누군가 영웅스윙. 팬들은 그걸 기대하고 있다는데 우와. 메릴이 또 충족을 합니다.
우와.
메릴이 또.
I love
Did you just say marry me, Jackson? It sounds like it.
It was.
자오르치오.
That was incredible. Just an incredible, incredible Sunday. I mean, the Rally Roach lives. He lives again. He lives. He lives.
They never die.
Lives. They never die. This team, bunch of cockroaches, and I mean that. In the
Good
most,
catch, Paulie.
I mean that in the most loving, loving way. You guys are a bunch of stubborn cockroaches. These San Diego Padres. Mm.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about some of the other games, good and bad, Friday and Saturday. I want to get to some of the Yu Darvish news. I think we have some of the audio, perhaps, from Yu Darvish on Friday when he returned. And we'll play some Take on Woods. Chance for you to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. All in our next segment. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.